Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk, July the 31st, the final day of July, and then we're going to be hitting August 1st, and that means football. And we have action tonight, Hall of Fame game, Detroit Lions versus LA Chargers coming up 7 p.m. right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app.
Well, you know, who's playing? You know, it's like it's an extra preseason game. That's one reason why the Chargers didn't want to practice against us, because they probably went a week earlier to training camp, and they have an extra game. So if you're going to be objective, like, oh, man, you know, you get all ticked off. I can't believe Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers don't want to practice against it. How is that going to – if I'm running a team, how is that going to benefit us? So Harbaugh looked at us. Okay, we – here a week earlier, we have the Hall of Fame game. So, no, I'm worried about my team. I'm not worried about the Saints. So, but if they didn't have the Hall of Fame game, I'd say that's a bunch of BS that Harbaugh didn't practice against the Saints. Now, if we're going to continue to go to Irvine in the future – I don't know. I look at AFC opponents in that region. I don't know. Practice against the Raiders. Right there in the proximity to Las Vegas. Whatever. I wouldn't necessarily go the NFC route, you know, because the Rams or 49ers or even the Cardinals. But, you know, the Raiders maybe work something out.
You mentioned yesterday, too, that, you know, the connection with Houston. That seems just logical.
Yeah, from a local perspective, whether you're going to Houston. But it's hard to have two practices going on at the same time if you're dealing with the heat index.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. Now, if you had two indoor facilities, you know, you get a lot accomplished. But nobody's going to have that. That's like that's like the Saudis or something. It's like in Dubai or something. We're just going to build something, be building something because we have so much damn money. But it might eventually come to that. But from a fan's perspective, you have the I-10 connection, the corridor. Yeah, Houston Texans, New Orleans Saints, AFC, NFC. I don't know. It just makes sense that we should practice against them. But looking at the game tonight, you know what I'm intrigued with? Man, I'm having a brain fart right now. Charlie, help me out. The quarterback, considering where he was drafted from, North Dakota State, very similar to the Colts quarterback who hasn't played a lot of football, starting football. Is it Trey Lance? I'm thinking of...
Right, he's okay. With the Chargers now, if you didn't know.
Yes, and Harbaugh said, no, he's playing. So you're not seeing Justin Herbert. So Trey Lance. So Trey Lance, Charlie, what was he drafted about a 49ers before he went to Dallas? Number three overall, I think, in the first round. You know, talk about you got a new one or get off the pot. No, I mean, don't give up on him. Wait, maybe Harbaugh. No, okay, Harbaugh, maybe he could be a significant backup, maybe overdrafted.
Sure,
but
maybe.
49ers, Dallas, and now he's with the Chargers. And so Harbaugh thinks maybe he can work a little magic with Trey Lance. So if you want to watch the game, you know, it's like, okay, I'm chomping at the bit for football. But I don't know if I really – who's playing? I'd want to be there at the kickoff. You know, watch that first half or that first quarter because you might see players that you will see on Sunday playing. And I'm kind of intrigued to see what Trey Lance would do with the Chargers because I think they're going to give him every opportunity to try and make him work out.
And then after that, a lot of guys definitely fighting for a job on that roster or somewhere else.
Yeah, I never forget, we played against the Chargers. Now I was in Atlanta in the Hall of Fame game. I was like a player coach. June said, oh, you ain't got to play. So we put Perry Klein in. He went to Cal Berkeley, then he went to CW Post. I forgot what round we drafted him. And I hung out with Perry in Pacific Palisades when they had the fires. No, he's from a wealthy family from Malibu, and then his house was burned to the ground. So we had, you know, they had martial law and all that, National Guard. You can even go. So I got like a firsthand view of what happened in the Pacific Palisades. It looked like a bomb went off. This is where my house was, overlooking the ocean and all that. No, it was so devastating. But the reason why I bring that up, because we were playing the Hall of Fame game. It was the Chargers versus the Falcons. And Perry Klein scrambles and he runs and he scores a touchdown. And he was a gymnast growing up. So in the end zone, he did a backflip. He's just standing up. Can you imagine like a quarterback today score a touchdown and just do a flip in the end zone?
Maybe Lamar.
No, you might see like a receiver or a receiver, but you don't see any quarterback doing that. So, yeah, I think I said, well, I was high-fiving and June said, look at Perry. He's like, so he went and he did a backflip in the end zone in the Hall of Fame game.
After our first break, we're going to get into our one-on-one interview we did today with Jordan Howden, Saints safety. First up, though, we're going to dip into the WWL Sound Bank brought to you by First American Bank. Here's some cuts from head coach Kellen Moore after today's practice. Here was his opening statement about today, including some transactions.
Knock out a couple things here really quick. A couple roster adjustments here as we go. We had Kai Kroger, punter from South Carolina, and then we let go of Hunter Deckers, quarterback. Obviously, just making that move there as we go, and we'll see how everything progresses moving forward. The injury things that we had talked about, Juwan Trayton and John. Juwan was limited in practice. The other two did not participate in practice. Obviously, it'll be a little thing. It'll take a few days for those guys to get back into it, but they'll be fine. Nothing long term. And other than that, it was an awesome practice. Really, really good practice. We were inside. It was kind of the second day in pads, so the energy and the effort was spectacular. It was a lot of fun, and so we had a great day, and it was really, really good. I think one other thing I want to shout out is LSU Tulane. I know they started yesterday, so fired up for all the college teams in our state to get going in college football. We always love to support those guys, and it'll be a fun journey for them.
Coach Kellen Moore giving some love there to the local squads. We talked a lot about with Bobby's training camp notebook about the two-minute drill today. Coach Moore was asked about the end of practice when Jay Kaner hit that last touchdown to seal it for the offense.
I think it's really good for all of our guys just to get in these call-it situations where you kind of get off the scripts. Scripts can be a little bit of preparation. There's preparation associated with scripts, and so force these guys just to go play, react to a bunch of different situations that are going to come up, and ultimately that's how games are played, and so we'll start implementing that throughout these practices moving forward.
One of the things that has been really noticeable, because it's we just haven't seen it at all during Sean Payton or Dennis Allen's tenure, that there's been refs at practice every single day at training camp. Coach Moore on why he's decided to do that.
I just think it's good for everyone. Everyone, that there's an accountability associated when officials are out there. There's results associated with it. And so all of our guys get to feel the ramifications. Sometimes they love to question, calls out there, but that's part of it. It's part of how you got to respond in different situations. That's how games are played. And so I think it's really good training for all of us.
The roster move today that Coach talked about, they brought in another punter in Kai Kroger, releasing quarterback Hunter Deckers. But now there's three punters on this Saints roster. Coach Kellen Moore on why that is a factor.
We just really liked what Kai presented the other day. He came in for a workout. He did an excellent job, and so we felt like he'd be a great addition to the competition. And, these rosters are always moving. They're always little pieces and adjustments. We got enough flexibility within our roster to handle it for the time, and so we'll see how it all progresses.
So a number of sacks, number of takeaways today from the defense. Coach Moore's thoughts on what they provided.
Yeah, they did an excellent job. I think, the front came alive, the energy, the juice, love the excitement on that sideline, responded really, really well. And, those guys played excellent in those two-minute situations. Certainly, you saw a lot of that. We talk a lot about those two-minute situations. You get a sack, that stalls those situations. That can end those drives really, really quickly. And so it just takes one. You just got to keep rushing. When you get it, big opportunities are going to present themselves.
Coach Moore earlier just talked about that two-minute drill. I mentioned Jay Kaner leading that touchdown drive at the end to seal it for the offense. Coach Moore sounds off about it.
Yeah, Jake did a nice job. We got in a couple of goofy situations, some really long yardage situations, and he was able to convert and get us back in track. There may have been potential sack there, according to Chase. We'll see. But we kept the drive going, and it was really good work, I think, for both sides of the football. Anytime, we'll just continue to try and steal as many two-minute drills as we can, because so many games come down to those situations.
Cannon, I know you've been pretty impressed with what Jay Kaner's doing. He just doesn't look like a guy that's just there going through the motions, someone that's definitely in this QB competition.
He made a pass today. I don't know, it's better to be lucky than good, but it didn't look luck because he was very confident. That freaking throw was unbelievable. One of the greatest throws in NFL history. A practice or a game, it was like 40 yards. You want to talk about a small window. I was like, whoa. And then Pettis, he threw it to Pettis, and at the last second, he turns his head, and it's right there, and he's focusing. He caught the ball. The coverage couldn't be any better. You're talking about drop it through the tar. Can you imagine you had the county fair or the church fair, the parish fair, and, you know, you throw it through a tar.
Sure.
Can you imagine that small tar is like basically like 40 yards away and you're able to hit it? No, it was like almost like a miracle. But Hayner did it with a lot of confidence. I'm telling you, that pass was unbelievable. I know it's practice. That doesn't count. It's not a game. No, I'm telling you, the wow factor, I mean, if Drew Brees would make this pass, you'd say, well, that's why he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Yeah. That was a Pro Football Hall of Fame pass on that 40-yard to Pettis. And it sustained the drive. You know, when they started out a minute, 40 seconds, losing about four, a timeout, to go down the field and to have an opportunity. And then the last play, you know, like, is it interference or not, the penalty and all that, the team's all into it. I mean, the defense even calls a timeout at the one-yard line. Can we have the right defense on? Because there was nothing scripted. You know, can we give the coordinators an opportunity to kind of run what play they want offensively or defensively? The players like that because it's not – you can kind of cheat with the script if you're a veteran and all that. But this is a touchdown. Hayner to Tipton plus 1 yard. Mason Tipton touchdown. You'd have thought we won the damn Super Bowl. I like that passion. There was a lot of
the fact Julian Blackman wasn't even in the play, but he, you know, on defense – He's there on the sideline, kicks the pylon after they score.
Because it meant that much because the defense was dominating overall.
For sure.
You know, that wasn't 100%, but it was like definitely 70 to 80% in their favor. But I just wrote this at the end. The offense was very poor overall in 2 minutes. And I say very poor. I want to be a little bit nice. And I say that the words I'm using, choosing those words, the offense was very poor overall in 2 minutes, to be kind. So I don't want to say, man, they were freaking terrible. You can't. I know the score, you got to go forwards instead of backwards. I didn't want to say that. But I like that off the script at the end. That looks a little pep in the step with the offense, the defense, and the coaches, and that enable the players to do that. But Jake Hayner, that one pass, I'm telling you, Steve, I might not even be doing this anymore to watch that. I'll tell you, all the football I've played or witnessed, there's no better throw than that ever. Ever. Wow. I don't care. Dan Marino, John Elway, whoever you think is the best of the best.
Doing that number three proud out there.
No, I know he told me he's going to make number three proud, but I tell you what, that throw to Pettis, the small window was, it wasn't even a window. It was like, how did that ball get in there? And then he caught it. Nobody moved the chains. They got a chance because, you know, we were going backwards, and finally they went forward.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll get more into our one-on-one. Saints safety Jordan Howden joined me and Bobby after practice. Stay tuned after this on WWL Saints Radio.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, hanging out with Saints safety Jordan Howden after today's practice session. Man, how's this early practice been going for you so far at camp?
It's been going well. You know, we got to practice in the morning, you know, with this heat going on, even though it's still blazing at 9 o'clock. But it's a good feeling, you know, everyone's got the juice out there, you know, just going around having fun.
Jordan, how do you feel today, especially, I guess, you know, you want this in a real game, but even in practice to get an interception and how it fires up the defense and, you know, making plays on the ball and coming up with a pick?
You know, it always starts with the process. You know, first of all, it goes with the call and, you know, just everybody on the field doing their job. I feel like that's the biggest thing. And then once everybody's able to do their job, you get to play around a little bit. And I was the post safety and just followed the ball and just, you know, did what I came here to do.
Jordan, you know, when you talk on the backhand, like communication, and fans will ask me, I said, well, I'm going to ask Jordan Howden, when here's the world champs, Philadelphia Eagles, and when y'all all like ran into each other. You know, you and Honey Badger, and who was, I'm trying to think, the other safety. Was it Will Harris, maybe?
Will.
Yeah. Was it just miscommunication then, or what exactly happened? Because, you know, obviously that was a significant play. We were winning by four.
Right.
And, yep. You know, had a chance to be 3-0.
I definitely wish I could take that play back. It wasn't like miscommunication. It was, I think it was like 3rd and 15 or whatever. And we had like, at the end of the day, like we just run what the call is. And when I was running down to go get the crosser, I just ran into Lat. That's what I did. I ran into Lat when he was guarding somebody, but I didn't really see him until the last minute. And then that's what really happened. Yeah, I know things happen. I learned from it. Now I just got to take a clearer path. I take full responsibility for that play, but new year.
So. New year, yeah. Now, Jordan, when you look at your career and the interest the Saints, you know, had in you and the confidence, the process, how did you end up, like, from San Diego, California to University of Minnesota to be a Gopher?
So born and raised in San Diego, that's first off. And then I – kind of like moved in the IE area around like Marietta, California. Then I finished off my senior year of high school in Las Vegas. And then, you know, I did my senior season then. I still didn't have any offers or anything like that. And then I ended up getting a preferred walk-on at the end of my senior season. So I ended up going to Minnesota then. And then when I went there, just never looked back. Got my scholarship and then just played. And then now I'm fifth round and I'm with the Saints, so.
So, what do you think as far as now your vet and your experience to get on the field more consistently, not just maybe special teams, but now we brought in some even older veteran right. safeties and that competition. Do you take that approach just to bring out the best in me and help me develop? Or?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, we're at the top of the, you know, professional athletes. You know, it's going to be competition everywhere you go. You got to bring your best. That's just what it is. But that's what you want. You know, you bring the best out of you, bring the best out of them, and you get to learn, you know, from the vets. And I also get to teach the young guys as well. So, you know, every day, each year, you know, you got to get better and just come with it every day.
What's been your impression so far of working with new defensive coordinator Brandon Scaley and his team?
Oh, yeah. He, you know, first of all, with the coach, Coach Stanley, he brings the juice every day. You know, he does not change. He's interactive with everybody. You know, we meet together more as a defense. I feel like that's a big thing, especially when you're learning a new system. You know, we all watch film together. You know, what he lets know, he tells like the secondary what the D line is supposed to be doing. So we all, okay, like if they're doing this, then we have to do this. So we all ties in together. So we all know what we're doing when we get on there. So, you know, it just brings us all together. And then that's what you need, especially on defense, because everybody's job is important. So.
Explain to the fans, you know, like with a zone or a man concept, that truly, even though you're playing zone and different coaches have different philosophies of what schemes they're going to utilize, that it comes to a case in point, whether it's experience or the clock in your head, okay, we're playing zone coverage, but now it's almost turns into a matchup man, well, who's in my zone?
Right.
To really, you know, looking at the quarterback or whatever division you get there, to be able to, even though it started out zone,
yeah.
really matching up with in the zone area with a particular receiver or player. Yeah.
Only difference between man and zone is just really you don't have to run with somebody all the way across the field. Especially when somebody's in your zone, then that's really your man in your zone. But obviously you're still looking at the quarterback at the same time. But depending on the down and distance, all right, what is it, 2 minutes, something like that, then you might be a little closer to your man because, you know, things moving quick. So, that's probably like the biggest thing when it comes to man is on. That's the like really difference. But sometimes you're going to have to run man. That's just how it is. And you just got to be able to do your job and fight through it. So.
Now, Jordan, growing up, who was maybe a mentor or someone that what you really looked up to and learned from or maybe wanted to maybe pattern your game after?
Honestly, so starting off when I was like little, I've been playing football since I was 5-6 years old. I was raised with a bunch of cousins and stuff. So like, even if it wasn't football, we was always doing something like sport wise. It could be baseball, basketball. You were not just finna sit around and not do nothing. So I feel like that was a big thing. All my older cousins, my uncle, they all played football and stuff. And I started playing with older guys. So I started playing with them once we got into like tackle and stuff. I would definitely say, cause like my uncle used to play safety. So He used to be a really great safety, but RIP to him. And then, you know, my dad got me into, like, actually, like, playing more defensive side because I used to play both ways and stuff. And, you know, my dad taught me a lot of things. And then I got into, like, actually, like, DB coaches when I got to, like, middle school or high school. And then, yeah, that's how I ended up getting offered to Minnesota. So.
Jordan, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it and look forward to seeing more of you, not just at camp, when the preseason games finally kick off.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you for having me. So.
That's it on Sports Talk right now. We'll be back right after this break. Stay tuned on WWL.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk and delve back into Bobby's training camp notebook brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Help us get into those notes. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also at practice today. You can check out his article about the Saints day 8 of camp, the highs and lows. Check it all out from the indoor practice facility at WWL.com. Jeff, quite an exciting session of camp today.
A lot of passion, a lot of emotion.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy today. And you know, I think over 3 days of practice out in the sun, it kind of wears down on you a bit. And you could tell, like, they were excited to get indoors and just get some work done without worrying about, like, heat stroke, right? Like, everyone was running around. Everyone had energy. And I think they got some really good work done. And I just think you see, you know, like, you can only make so much out of vibes, right? Like, every year everyone seems upbeat at this time of the season. But I think you can tell sometimes, like, when team morale is good, when guys believe in the system and they believe in what's happening, you know, there's just a different energy. And you've been around these camps a lot longer than me, Bobby. Like, I haven't seen a team that engaged like we saw today in years for the Saints. I think that's a good sign for a first-year coach.
Yeah, like they all into practice. I mean, a Kool-Aid, man. I mean, I want to wake up and drink what he drank before practice. But he was showing
the field, just going. Woo!
Yeah, he was a lot of passion. Maybe it was a special Kool-Aid. I don't know Kool-Aid McKinstry, but boy, I thought that's what you need, though, especially from a defensive standpoint. You know, an offensive lineman, you know, just do your damn job. You know, kind of like, I don't know too many. Offensive linemen, usually they're kind of quiet, they do their job. But defensively, you got to play with that passion, and I think you always have to have that emotion. But, Jeff, looking at, okay, if you're just observing, because we know who these guys are, but if you're just observing, okay, I'm going to come down and I said this, I think in the past few years, like coming down from Mars. I don't know none of these cats.
Yeah, use that example with Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston.
Yeah, and I don't know, and I don't know who's who. I don't know who's nobody. I'm just watching what I observe. I mean, hands down, you cannot say that overall that Jake Haener doesn't belong. Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shough, they're not head and shoulders above Jake Haener when he's actually done, and when they've had opportunity to have reps and run the offense. I mean, would you agree with that or what?
Yeah, you know, I do think there's some level of he's going against the threes. You're going to look a little better going right against the threes. But no, I agree with you. Like, I think there's a reason that Kellen was insistent that Jake is part of this conversation, because Jake is a good quarterback. Like, I think you have three solid young quarterbacks. Are they top-end starting quarterbacks? I'm not sure. But I assure you that all three of these guys can have long NFL careers, whether it's as a starter or a backup. But no, and I mean, like, Jake looks confident out there. And I think that's the difference. When you look at Spencer, you look at Jake, and you look at Tyler, two of those guys are going out there and they look confident. They look like they believe in what they're doing. They trust their reads. They're getting the ball out. And then one kind of looks like he's swimming, right? Like, and I think it's I almost kind of feel like this competition is a negative for Tyler at this point, because it's turning rookie moments that should be kind of teaching moments into losses. And I just think the way we're looking at it is every day it's a competition and we're analyzing every rookie quarterback rep.
Right.
It's everything. And at the end of the day, like, that didn't happen to Spencer Rattler last year. He was able to go out there and just learn at the NFL level, second and third team reps. Same thing with Jake the year before, and we're not giving Tyler that grace. And I think that's a negative thing. And I would almost prefer to see, like, we end this competition early and say, hey, one of these two guys is a starter, and you allow Tyler to grow at the NFL level. Because the discourse around Tyler Shuck at this point is a lot more like he's the number 4 overall pick, when in reality he's the number 40 overall pick.
Well, Jeff, that's a great point, and you enlightened me today. And I said, well, Jeff, you got to share this with the Houdet Nation, and because I think it's a better example than what I tried to give, because it does matter what the team has invested in you and where you drafted. They might say, no, everybody has a clean slate, whether you're a draft pick or you're a free agent. No, that's a bunch of BS. I mean, to a certain extent. Now, if you're a free agent that is dominant, no, maybe diamond in the rough, you give it an opportunity. But I had said, if you look at the example of the Patriots, and he didn't went thrown to the Wolves right away. No one had expectations for the Patriots last year, so they went with Jacoby Brissett. Then all of a sudden, Drake May is the guy, a week 6 against the Texans. And then Holly finishes the season. Everyone's encouraged about this upcoming season and the Patriots with Drake May. But then I think you said, Bobby, I got a better example than that. Considering what a team has invested in a potential quarterback and a draft pick, that all comes into consideration. So I want you to explain to the Houdet Nation the example you brought up to me, which I think makes total sense. And it's dealing with Super Bowl winning quarterback Jalen Hurts with the Eagles.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about this because I listened to the whole Drake May thing, and I was like, it just doesn't work, because when you draft a guy number 3, you have to play that guy. Whether it's week 1 or whether it's week 10 or whether it's week 8, whatever, you're going to have to play that guy. It's just a matter of time, and you're not going to worry about, oh, well, what if the guy ahead of him is like, Jacoby Brissett was never winning that job. It was always going to be Drake May. It was a matter of when, not if. But the guy that makes more sense is Jalen Hurts, because you go back to 2020, Jalen Hurts is coming out of college. Very similar situation, right? He starts at Alabama, loses his job to Tua, ends up transferring to Oklahoma, where he kind of rebuilds that draft stock, becomes an NFL prospect. I was at the Peach Bowl. They got completely trucked by LSU that year, but Jalen Hurts was a Heisman finalist. He was fantastic. Ends up falling into the second round. The Eagles take him at number 53, so 13 spots lower than Tyler Shuck, but
right?
Similar situation. The biggest difference is the Eagles at that point had Carson Wentz. Whereas, like, I feel like Derek Carr going into this season is their, that would have been their Carson Wentz type goal, right? Like, if they had Carr right now, we would be talking about this the same way they were talking about Jalen
Hurts. Like Carson Wentz and Hurts, right.
Because it wasn't really a competition. That year, Jalen Hurts didn't even go into the season as the backup. Nate Sudfeld was the backup. Jalen Hurts ended up turning into the backup because they wanted to use him as a scrambling quarterback. Like, that's how he got onto the field for the first time. Jalen Hurts didn't get into a game until week 13 that season. Carson Wentz was benched against the Packers. Jalen Hurts gets in. He gets his first start the next week, and Saints fans should remember this because the Saints faced them that week in Jalen Hurts' first start. Miles Sanders and Jalen Hurts go off.
He ran all over us. Nobody had 100 yards rushing.
Allowed a 100-yard rusher in like 3 years, and they allowed 2 in one game, Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders. And we've seen how that's gone, right? And I don't think it's lost on Kellen Moore, who coached Jalen Hurts last year, how that development worked for him, because when he got in week 13, he was ready to go. Saints fans saw him. I'm sorry, week 14. Like, he was ready for that game, and I think that's not lost on the Saints coaching staff. That's not lost on the front office. Like, guys don't have to start week 1 to be successful in the NFL. And I think that when you're looking at if you want an example of that strategy of starting a guy and letting it play out and going to the second round pick, that's it. Like, that is the best example you can find. And Kellen Moore had a firsthand look at how that guy has turned into a Super Bowl champion quarterback.
Jeff, the short time and the few years now that I've known you, that's like an A+. If I was your professor, great. I was like, well
gold star for Jeff today.
No, it's an A+. That is an awesome example how fans don't want to have patience. Some organizations don't want to have patience, but that's what it truly takes at times. That's why you got to see, always say, the light at the end of the tunnel and the potential. And hopefully that light at the end of the tunnel, always says, not that train coming right at you. And then people don't realize, you know, it's about going from the penthouse to the outhouse. This is, was it before COVID? When Carson Wentz was, until he got hurt, was up for MVP in the whole league. And it was a big enough sample size, like 12 games. I want to say that he got hurt, then it was just downhill all from there. So you never know how quickly things could change. But thanks, Jeff, for enlightening me about that, because I like that example way better than Derek May. It's just like, but I don't know if the fans like, oh, why did we draft this guy? Why is he not playing? You know, everybody, okay, slow your roll. You know, the bottom line is you have to see, might be baby steps, even though we don't have the patience to drive through, you know, how we are. I want it now.
Yeah, everything now.
But Jalen Hurts is a perfect example.
Fault, right? Like, part of that is the media's fault, because, like, we're the ones who are out there, and we're hyping right. everything up, you know, because it's like, we're excited about it, right? And I think sometimes, like, we end up not allowing that grace too. So, I don't know. It's a weird situation, but I still, Tyler Shuck is swimming right now. But I still feel good about Tyler Shuck, and that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I'm going to tell you right now that Spencer Rattler, if I had to play a game today, would be my starter. That doesn't mean I'm quitting on Tyler Shuck. It means he's got to develop.
Amen. That's a good point, Jeff.
Always awesome stuff, Jeff. Besides today's practice report, what else you got going on at WWL.com right now?
Yeah, I had a story up on Kendre Miller. You know, that running back competition is going to be fascinating. We talked to him earlier in camp. You know, he's feeling healthy for the first time in his career, at least from the start of the season. He's not dealing with a knee injury, not dealing with an ankle. You know, he didn't pull his hamstring in the first practice of camp. So, you know, just some insight into his process and how that has gone for him. You can check that out.
Awesome stuff, as always. Talk to you tomorrow on Sports Talk, man.
For sure, guys. See you.
All right, Jeff.
That's Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, also WWL's digital content producer, taking a break on Sports Talk. As we get ready for the Hall of Fame game, we'll be back with more right after this, though, on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. One last look into Bobby's Notebook, brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Cajun Cannon got a day off from camp on tomorrow, so we won't be back in action until Saturday and Sunday. Back-to-back padded sessions. They're going to be outside in front of the fans. What more are you looking forward to besides this QB competition?
Well, just most overall competition, still bringing that passion and that excitement, that energy. You know,
right. Can they bring it from outside? Inside to outside. Right.
Yeah, dealing with the heat. I can tell you what, I think the defense, not necessarily I want them to totally dominate the offense, but I guarantee you, they'll bring that passion from the inside to the outside if they dominate like that, or as dominant as they were overall. I think they will be passionate. But hopefully the offense bounces back a little bit. And what we're going to do is, Steve, because, you know, people driving to work or driving home from work, I should say, whatever. Saturday and Sunday, we're going to observe practice, and then we're going to break it down on Monday and do
a lot to unload after that.
Yeah, on Sports Talk. So we have a lot of notes and to see, because I can tell you what, things can change quickly after one or two practices.
Well, that's a wrap on today's edition of Sports Talk. Coming up next, the Hall of Fame game. Tune in on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the crowd.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that ghost, Saints?
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.